Today we are hanging out with Beto Perez, and he is a radio personality here in San Diego, been in the radio industry for a long time, and he's been a friend of mine for a long time, always been supporting what we're doing. So make sure you check out everything that he does out here in Diego, always representing. We are going into this episode today that will be brought to you by the AM Law Group. Make sure you check out my boy Anthony Medina at the sdlawfirm.com. Helping out a lot of people in the community. He is born, raised here in San Diego, also went to school here. So make sure you check him out, man. He's a jewel to have here in the community, man, always helping people out. Also, it is this episode is brought to you by the Love Thy Neighbor movement, man, trying to do some international moves. And Beto's been helping us since day one as well. So make sure you check out the lovethyneighbormovement.com. And let's go ahead and get into this with Beto, man, because he's got a lot to say. So let's roll. Let's do this. Get
connected with Ruben. Yo, if you're C-O-N-E-C-T-A-D-O, you already know about the show, so let's go. It's your music and lifestyle, fashion profile, the entertainment source for everything you want to know about. North to the south, the east to the west side, stay connected with Ruben Torres worldwide, so let's go. Across the globe, well respected, beasting on the industry.
Connected. Connected with Ruben Torres, another episode. We are chilling today with Beto Perez of KISS FM 95.7 in San Diego, man. And today's episode, you're going to learn a thing or two about the radio biz. What's up, Beto?
What up, man? Just chilling. Happy to be on your show. It's been a long time in the works, so we're here now. What up, what up?
Yeah, man. I've been trying to catch you, and you've been busy.
I'm pretending to be busy, dude.
Nah, man, you're all over the place, dude. And, I've been trying to catch up with you, and I'm like, man, we'll do it wherever, man, we'll do radio. I just, on the phone, whatever it is, and I just been trying to catch up, man, and finally got you, man.
I'm here.
What have you been up to, man? Talk to me. I know you've been busy, man, doing DJing, and you're spinning at some of the clubs or whatever, and then you've got some, we won't go into the sponsorship stuff yet, but you've been staying busy, right?
Yeah, man, staying busy. Been DJing full time ever, for the last 15 years, and I've been doing radio for the last 12 years. I took about a year off, and now I'm back at it. And I actually just got picked up too, about a couple months back with Frankie J. You familiar with Frankie J, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah,
I'm his official DJ, so that's keeping me on the road, man. And that's fun, new experience, and
we'll get into that right now.
Okay,
let's if we can, I want to educate some of these people on the business that you're in, and you've been doing this for how many years now?
2002, what are we, 2015, 13 years? To be 14.
So how did you get your break in the radio business, in the radio industry?
I started working with 92.5, a local radio station here in San Diego. It's an old school format. And when I was 16, man, I used to prank call when we actually had house phones. I would prank call this dude named Vic, Victor Caballero, man. And he was the producer for the morning show on 92.5, which growing up was one of my favorite radio stations. And Delana and Greg and Delana were the morning show. And Vic just one day called him on the weekend, answered the request line. And I just would harass him, bro, all the time. I was about 16 years old. And he told me, hey, when you grow some peach fuzz, man, give me a call. You're not old enough yet. So, dude, I kept following him around, and for about maybe a year, I harassed him. And then one day he just said, all right, come in for an interview. Went in for an interview, and he was like, dude, he's like, you're exactly the barrio kid I'm looking for. And I got my break on Greg and Delena's morning show. I was their stunt guy and their intern for a while, and I, did everything to basically stay in there.
So you came in, would you say, like, as an intern?
Yeah, I was definitely an intern for at least a year. And even when I was interning, just when I was supposed to just intern for the mornings, man, I would stick around, and Sherry Knight was to follow. And Sherry Knight had just had her twin, so I would help her out too, man. I just really wanted to get into radio, and I had just turned 18,
man. So, and that's some determination, man, because most people would quit, but when was at what age, or at what point were you like, man, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life?
Before radio or once I got into radio?
Both.
Being in radio was a lifetime goal of mine. Being a teacher and being in radio was a lifetime goal of mine.
Wait. Being a teacher?
Yeah, dude. You know I was teaching, remember?
Yeah.
I was a middle school teacher.
But I thought that was just kind of one of those, you know, one of those things where you were doing just to do.
Well, it was a goal of mine, and that was it was a great experience, man. I wanted to know if I wanted to, you know, really do teaching full time, but man, those kids, I have no patience, bro. So I continued doing my radio thing at night, and during the day I was teaching. I did that for about 2.5 years. Yeah. And what was the question again, dude? I got sidetracked.
At what point did you know that this is what you wanted to do?
Before radio, I was coming back from Mexicali. And I was in the car with my mom, dude. We were coming to La Rumorosa, and we were listening to an AM station, and, like, the dude came on, and, like, I don't even know to this day who that dude was, but he was just interesting. And I was like, man, when I grew up, I want to be in radio because all they do is just play music, and that's all that's all I thought they did, you know? And so I followed it until I was 17. Once I got in, I did about 2 years, and I was like, man, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, and I've been doing that since.
Was there someone that growing up, that you know influenced you as far as like radio, like maybe a voice or someone's style or something where you were like, man, I want to do what that guy does.
I don't know if it was really the DJs that talk on the radio, but it was more of the DJs that were scratching, dude, like Hurricane Andrew, Marlino, 5 Foot of Funk, DJ Rags, DJ Happy. Like when I would hear those dudes on the radio, they're not the talking kind of radio DJs. They're the Ficky Miki, the scratch DJs. Yeah. Those are the guys that inspired me more than the voice people, you know?
Yeah. And so you do both.
I do both. On the radio right now, though, I'm just doing the talking end of it. I'm not doing the Ficky Miki mix, but I do Ficky Miki mix on the side, and that's what I do for a hobby / living.
But tell me about the difference, because I think there's people that really don't know the difference. Like they think because you're on the radio talking that you're also spinning, and you know, it's there's a difference, right?
Yeah, huge difference. So when somebody says I'm a radio DJ, what I automatically assume is somebody that's mixing and scratching the music. When they say I'm an on-air talent or a jock or an on-air personality, that's the person that's, you know, talking directly on the mic, and probably for the most part, like 80% of the time, has no clue of what a turntable even is, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And so, and is there, I mean, because the radio industry gets so like deep, but is there other avenues for some, I mean, cause you got, the way you got involved in the radio industry isn't the way everybody else is going to get in.
Nah, dude, I got lucky, man. And especially walking into a studio, cause it's a privilege to be in the studio, like in the studio, bro. Not like, it's like anybody that's upstairs, any head honcho will tell you that, like, it's a privilege. Like you cannot walk into a studio without like getting that pass handed to, like, literally, dude, like, it is disrespectful to show up into a studio if you're not invited. So a lot of people, you know, they start by doing the street team, man, and luckily I love the street team, and I'm huge on that, because the people that taught me and influenced me were, you know, were from the old school, before the Facebooks, before the Instagrams, before all that, and it was all about the streets. You had to hit the streets. But I mean, you know, my respects to the street teamers, man, because they're the ones setting up, you know, a shop and putting up tents and stickers on cars and doing all the crazy work, you know? And that's 75% of the time, that's how you get in. You intern doing streets, and, you know, you work your way around the building, and, you know, you meet people and slap hands, and that's how it is.
Is there like schooling that you would send somebody to? Like I know in the film industry, there's like Full Sail, and even to get into the music industry on that side, like, you go to Full Sail and they teach you how to record and do all the stuff and music industry stuff. But is there a broadcast school, or is there something?
There is a couple of broadcast schools in LA, but honestly, there's nothing like getting your hands on it and doing it, because everything they're teaching you there, for one, can be outdated equipment. For two, depending on what company you work for, they use different softwares. When you go to a broadcast school, not to knock it, but I mean, from what I understand, they just teach you like Pro Tools and that stuff that you could just learn on your own. And, you know, I mean, I don't have the money to do that. So I just came in and learned. And it actually took me 2 weeks, man, to learn how to run a whole board and operate the whole station. Yeah. I kind of had no choice, because the person that vouched for me at that time said that I fully knew how to do everything. So I really had to just learn it. And that's really, I think, the best way to learn it.
Yeah. Hands on. And I mean, you know, you've been doing this for a long time. And you know, when I had first met you, you were over at 92.5. And you were producing back then, right?
Yeah, I was working with X-Men in the afternoons, and we had just moved in from National City, which is our... It was crazy because we had just moved in from National City, which was our original location, and it was like, oh, man. I don't... Well, I guess I could say it because we were like the company stepchild, like all the cool. Not, well, I'm not gonna say cool because we were actually cooler than all the other stations. But but as far as like, you know, the big budget stations, the ones that were bringing in the money, the ones that were like interviewing Britney Spears and, you know, whoever was hot at that time, they were all in one building, and we were like in National City in the hood. And and seriously, dude, I got shot at during like that's how hood it was. Like we like yeah, it was hood.
Yeah, so. That's where I remember meeting you. And then, you know, I always, from what I knew of you, I thought you were just a DJ and you were like cutting, you know what I'm saying? Like you were spinning and you're a scratch DJ. But when I was like, well, you're a producer too. And so to me, I'm like, dude, you know, like thinking back, you've had your hands in everything up to this point, right?
Yeah, I kind of had to learn, you know, the steps. And a lot of the times, you're like, a lot of times I just got thrown into stuff that I didn't even know what I was doing. And production was one of them, man. Production, I had no clue of how to operate anything. Yeah. And I had to pretend like I knew what I was doing, either that or the next person was going to get hired.
Yeah. And then there's a difference too, because being with what was 92.5, 91X and all these, another cluster of stations, and then being over here now, what's the difference between being with this major conglomerate than over there?
Like more independent?
So you're more independent here now?
No. I'm just saying like, you're saying like, in the, like what is it like the difference between an independent company and more of a corporation?
Yeah. Yeah,
There's more obstacles when it comes to corporate, man. They got to cover their butts for everything, and they got to use lawyers, and people got to okay, and you got like 10 approvals, and you know, in a lot of the independent, they just, you know, talk to one person and they give it the okay, and it is what it is. And you know, for example, when there's concerts, you know, we got independent company that'll come out and it's got a hip hop station, just an example, and they have a hip hop station come out and they'll do like a big cutout board of like, say, Lil Wayne, right? Yeah. Us being in a big corporation, we can't use that cutout because it's copyrights. So they don't want to get sued. So like, that's something that they can kind of get an upper hand over. And like, it's more, you know, like that's more hip, that's more cool, but we have the budget to do it, but we can't.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. So now that you're, you know, would you say like, this is the major leagues, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Is this somewhere that you always wanted to be, or I mean, would you say like, dude, this is bucket list? Like, I always wanted to be at you know, I mean, before it was Clear Channel, but now it's iHeartMedia.
I really wanted to be at 92.5, dude, and I was there for 10 years. That was really like my goal, to work at that station, and I was there for 10 years. After I stopped working there, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had about a year off, and this new station, which is where I'm at now, Kiss FM, popped up, dude, and like it was like a perfect combination of all the music that I grew up to, and you know, it was down my alley, my lifestyle, and now this is where I want to work. And it wasn't easy getting in here, dude, like by any means. Like, it really took me, man, I'm about to put my boss on blast, but it took me like 9 months before my boss even acknowledged the fact that I was already in the building. Like, I had to go and work and do other like stuff, dude, and just to get my foot back in the company, just to even shake hands with the dude that had the final decision, you know? Like, yeah. It took me 9 months to get that email back, dude. 9 months.
Wow.
And this was like, I would DJ Friday and Saturdays till 2 a.m. and I would have to come in Saturday and Sunday, 5 a.m. to 1 p.m. And I did that for 2 years just to get that email.
Wow, man.
That's serious, dude.
I
slept here at the station, dude, for 2.5 years. I slept on the floor every single weekend, no days off, like no weekends off ever.
Some putting in some work.
Yeah, dude. But then, you know, that's the stuff that people don't see. And, you know, everybody thinks we got to hand it over and it's easy. But, dude, there's steps to everything. You can't just, like, you don't get stuff handed over to you here in radio, especially because everybody's competing for the same job.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, there's stuff that you look at where, like Big Boy up in L.A., and that guy's, like, taking what he's done in his position to a whole nother level. I heard like recently he just switched stations and he like negotiated some like crazy multi-million dollars.
I think it was 33 million.
Something like that. Something crazy, right?
Yeah.
So how does one get to a level like that? What do you got to do? Because I mean, you know, not to cut you off, but I know we were talking earlier, and you know, there's steps to what you do, and then climbing up the ladder in ratings and doing that kind of stuff. But what do you got to do to get to a level like him as far as in radio?
I think, well, Big Boy is just part of history, man. He's been there since day one. So, you know what I mean? You can't really come in and fill a Big Boy's shoes because he was there since the 90s when all that started. But somebody like him, where he's making big money syndications, it's a lot of the times they have, how can I say it, man? Your question is how do they get paid that big bucks, right?
Yeah, like how do you get
so
to that
level? A lot of it is endorsements. A lot of it is being in a big market and having an agent that's out there, you know, hustling for you, or just basically putting you know your product out there, and you're being the only one that can provide that certain product, you know, that certain energy, that certain vibe on the airwaves, and you know, but definitely being in a big market helps.
And how does the market break down? Can you tell me, like, how does all that work? Because I know, you know, there's A markets and B markets, and
yeah, we got like New York. New York is number one. It's just the population. You know, the bigger cities, the more population. That's kind of how it breaks down. Mm-hmm. It's we got top five would be like we got New York, we got Chicago, we got San Francisco, we got L.A., and you know, you got Texas, Atlanta. There's a bunch of big markets, and then there's like little stations in the middle of nowhere, like, you know, you go down San Juan, you know, Capistrano or whatever, and that's like, you know, number 200.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, you know, you mentioned two syndications. How does one, how do you get syndicated for, because, you know, to be in different markets?
Well, you got to definitely have a one-of-a-kind package. You package it together, and you have, like, either an agent that goes around and shops it around for you, or if you just happen to have contacts, you know, you just reach out to the PDs and say, you know, hey, I got this. And if the PDs are interested, if it fits their format, they'll pick it up. And sometimes it's they don't get paid. Sometimes they get paid in commercials, or, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, on some homie love.
Yeah, you know, there's always other ways for people to get paid in what you guys do. You guys do commercials. You guys do all kinds of stuff, right? Can you explain?
Endorsements, commercials. Sometimes you show up to events and, you know, you get a talent fee for that. You know, you got a club night, you know, they give you money for that. So that's how you get some extra cash.
Yeah, how does that work? How does the sponsorship work? Like,
they basically either reach out to the station and say, "Hey, this is our demographic. We're you know, interested in your market. Do you have any DJ that fits it, or can, hey, this person do it? You know, a special request." And then you pick it up. You pick up that account, you know, and you see what that account's about. You kind of do your research on it, and then you talk about it.
Have you ever been approached by something that you were like, "Oh no, I don't believe in that. I don't want to do it." Or sometimes you're just like, dude, I got to get paid, you know, and just do whatever, you know, whatever you got to do. Cause it's
butt plug commercial or something.
Something like that, I guess. But, you know, like I was listening to this podcast, and there was this comedian, and, you know, he talks about like maybe like a certain drink or something. And he's like, yeah, you know, and, you know, he'll do his commercial. And then right after he'll be like, but I don't drink that stuff because it's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, there's times that, you know, we're endorsing something that we don't eat or something that we don't drink, you know. I don't smoke cigarettes. So if somebody approached me and wanted me to do a Marlboro cigarette, I mean, I'll do it, but it's not much I could talk about. It's not I'm going to be passionate about it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, but there's car commercials. There's plenty of stuff that people do. How is the money making outside of radio? When it comes to that kind of stuff,
there's good money in that. A lot of the talent, a lot of the jocks, that's where they make a good percentage of their money, man.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, you know, man, I probably shouldn't put numbers out there, but I mean, you're sometimes that's a good chunk of money right there.
Yeah. And someone would like you just mentioned earlier how you've been on the road traveling as a DJ with multi-platinum recording artists. So how does that work? These guys reaching out to you?
Well, Frankie, he's a local talent, man. And, I've worked with a bunch of different artists in the past, like Debbie Deb. I've worked with I worked with Lighta Shade of Brown. I've worked with just a bunch of different artists. But in this case with Frankie, man, I reached out to him. He's never had a DJ. I'm his first DJ. And you know, he wanted to just do something different, cause he's like the king of ballads, dude. He's got tons of ballads, and he's also got a bunch of dance records that he can't play because, you know, he doesn't have a DJ to back him up behind it. And it's usually a band that he brings with him. So now that, you know, he threw me in the mix, now we're able to play those upbeat dance records too. So it even, you know, it just we connected at the right time, man.
Sure.
It is extremely important. Not only is it important to learn all the equipment, but is it important to guide you, because there's a lot of shady stuff that goes on too, man. Like, you know, and it's a process that you learn. It's a trial and error, man. Like, you won't learn until it happens to you. There's certain things you can't say, you know, there's certain you can't go past your program director and go directly to head honchos. Like, it just doesn't work like that. There's a, you know, times when you can talk to people. There's times when you can't. There's people who you can associate with. There's people who you can't. You know what I mean? Like, you can't go into a sales department and, you know, try to sit there and chop it up with them, because, you know, there's boundaries to everything, man. So there, without a mentor, you're gonna do that. Like, I had a perfect example. My program director, he asked me for something, and that person that was contacting me, I gave him his direct phone, and I was just like, you know, to me, it's like, you can call me, it doesn't matter. But yeah, to him, it's like, wait, you can't just give out my number, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I learned that, and I actually learned that not that long ago.
Wow.
So, you know, there's steps and things you can and can't do.
Is there anybody that you're taking under your wing, or maybe you've took under your wing and you're mentoring yourself too?
Yeah, I had a couple people, man. One of them is a program director for an online radio station now. It's a huge, you know, Slacker Radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is equivalent to like Spotify and all that. Like, he's a program director there. I took under somebody under my wing that's now in LA working. And then writing, it's more like, I just like to help people, man. It doesn't, you know, whether they're under my wing or not, like, you know, I just try to like help them from what I've learned, and sometimes they soak it up and sometimes they like look at me weird, but
yeah,
doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And speaking of, you know, you liking to help, I'm going to take it back a little bit. You and I have been doing a lot of community stuff in the past, 6 years?
It's probably longer.
And, yeah. So, you know, I know, you know, you've been part of the Love Thy Neighbor movement since it started, which is the nonprofit that we're starting here with, you know, we started taking toys and clothes and stuff to kids down in Tijuana, but, you know, we're doing a Christmas time, toy drive every year, but you've been doing other stuff too, man. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
'Cause
you go to school sometimes and you do your thing over at the schools.
Yeah,
I know,
man.
You don't do too much religious stuff, but you do stuff at the
school. Yeah, I don't do too much religious stuff. Another day I got called out on something because somebody gave me a really cool Virgin Mary shirt, and I actually rocked it. And they're like, hey, but, you know, you say you're not. I'm like, and I haven't worn that shirt ever since. But, yeah, man, I like to donate my time, man. I don't even like to donate. I just share my time with the kids, man, because the youth is very important to connect. For many reasons, man. And this is going to be a super insight, dude, on some of the reasons why. One is definitely to support, you know, the school system, because I was a teacher and I know that there's definitely no funding. Two, it makes me feel good. Three, it makes me feel young. Like, those kids just, like, you know, the smiles, the good times. And it takes me back to a time again that it will never be brought back unless I'm in that scenario. And another very important thing, dude, that people sleep on, and I'm gonna give you an insight, because a lot of people don't do this, man. But those kids are gonna be 18 sooner than later, and who's gonna keep your torch alive? Like, everybody you contact with now that is older and adult, like, it's cool, they already know you, they already got you added wherever they got you added on the social medias. But those kids that you know are growing up, you got to plant that seed, so when they get older, you know, they keep you around.
And
I don't share that with anybody, because that's kind of my top secret, dude. Like, if one of my opposing DJs is listening, they're gonna get me with that.
No, man, but that's real deal, because they're never gonna forget that. Oh, you visited them, or you taught them something, you shared something with them, man. And that's important, dude. And you know, and that's, you know, I've seen that in you when you come out to come hang out, you know, when we do the Love Thy Neighbor stuff. Tell me, you know, some of the memories and some of the stuff with the Love Thy Neighbor stuff that you've done.
Oh, Love Thy Neighbor is always fun, man. It involves, you know, a lot of the people that I just grew up with or somehow are connected to. And, you know, it just, I have a lot of good memories, man. The first one, your brother helped us out. A good friend of mine, Letty, was a part of it too. Passed away. Rest in peace, Letty.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just one of the great memories was watching the video, dude, that you guys put together. Because I'm a pollo, dude, straight up. Like, I can't leave the States, dude. That's the honest truth. And so I can't be a part of the toy delivery, man. But just seeing those kids' faces and, you know, even was it Toxic you brought out? You brought out a wrestler that, man, like, we hadn't even met then. And now he's like the homie, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just watching that video, getting all the stuff together, gathering the toys was, you know, and then just seeing like all the homies come together and do something good for the community, even if it's just once a year, you know, yeah. It doesn't matter. It's going for a good cause. There's no third parties and you know, it's fun.
And this year we're going to be doing it over in your neck of the woods, man, over in San Isidro. So, you know, we'll talk about that a little later.
But, yeah.
But what's crazy is, you know, outside of the business side of stuff, me and you, not only do we share the same birthday, man, but we got a love for wrestling.
Hell and yeah. Lucha. We got lucha tattoos.
Right. Tell me about your love for Lucha Libre, man.
Man, I grew up in the lucha in the late 80s, all through the 90s, man. That was what connected me and my dad, man. Dad was just, you know, he liked to have a good time and he liked to have a couple drinks. And that was kind of like a perfect excuse for him to go out, have some drinks and you know, let me wild out. And what dad would do is, I'm glad my mom don't really know English because she'd be mad. But dad would take me to the Lucha Libres and just let me be a kid, dude, be run wild. Like, yeah. he'll buy me the rompope, not rompope. What are those? what are those like jellos?
Oh yeah, yeah.
The flan. Yeah. He would buy me the flan and they would put rompope, dude. And I don't know if I was faded or not, dude. But he would buy me a couple of those and like, dude, like, I just got to see these dudes that are like superheroes and. Yeah. You know, that's something that like a memory of my dad that I will never forget. Like, you know, and lucha is just something that I grew up watching every weekend. Like every Friday was mandatory, dude, for like probably about 4 years until dad passed away. But
yeah,
that's what I would do.
And who's your favorite luchador right now?
Right now?
Yep. Right now and back then.
Back then, dude. Ah, man, I got a couple. I got to give you a list. I can't just like, right. Octagon, dude, when Octagon came in, he kind of just changed the whole game up for me. So, although I like guys that are older than Octagon was kind of like the dude that really just changed, you know, wrestling in my books. He came in and doing all the high flying stuff and, you know, but I mean, I like, you know, Parca, Espectro, I like, you know, Dos Caras, Mil Máscaras. I actually started liking Mil Máscaras more now than I ever have. So that's probably one of my favorite wrestlers right now. But just because Blue Demon is super cool, I like Blue Demon, man. I like them all. I mean, there's all the OGs.
We met Blue Demon.
Yeah, we met Blue Demon and Santos together.
And we had pictures somewhere too on Facebook of that over at the Padres.
Yeah,
Padres. Yeah, man.
And I got to show my tattoo together.
Yeah.
And okay. What did he say? Blue Demon said, I están los tatuajes, te rompo la madre, Santo, right. Which translates that even in tattoos, I kick your ass, Santos.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. And it's crazy that they were together and they both seen it together. And in the picture, they're like pointing at your leg.
Yeah, that's trippy.
And back to the tattoos, which is another thing I want to ask you about is you're kind of like a walking billboard for Chuy Espinoza, world-renowned tattoo artist here in San Diego, and he's won awards for what's on your leg.
Yeah, he got his first award with my tattoo on the leg, man. But I see the work that he does, that he's done now, dude. I'm like, can't even compare to what I got. Like, I'm like, dang, like mine's old school now.
Yeah, dude's awesome, man. So you plan on getting any more?
Yeah, man, eventually. But he's been so busy, dude. Like, it's just hard getting in there with them. But yeah, definitely plan on I'm working on a whole sleeve, man. It's just every tattoo piece that I got represents something, though. I know it's all legendary people that I have, like celebrities from Mexico, like, you know, Chalino, like Vicente, like Tintan, Resortes, Cantinflas, Chavo, but they all represent something or like a memory. Or, you know, if I want to get a good laugh, I could always look at my leg and just, you know, laugh at Tintan with his facial expression.
Yeah, right. So and so you've been on the road lately. You're working sponsorship stuff right now. You got you know, you're still doing the bars, the club stuff, and you're here, man. What's the secret to you like staying awake and doing all this stuff, man? Because I know, dude. I mean, not everyone can do what you do.
Eating junk food, dude. I don't know. I mean, I eat a lot. That's really the only thing that I could tell you. I don't drink coffee. I trying to cut down on the soda. I don't know. I really don't know, man. I just It's because it's like more like a hobby. So I enjoy what I do. So whatever opportunity I can to jump on anything that has connected with my hobbies, like I love. So that's more like probably the high on life. I don't know.
So who would be your favorite artist to work with right now?
Current artist or just an all-time?
All-time.
I really like, dude, people are going to kill me for this, but I really like Kanye West, dude.
Oh, man.
I know. I just like Kanye. Like, I just think, like his personality, I don't really care for, but his music is just like, he's just a musical genius, man.
As long as you don't start dressing like
him. Nah, hell no, dude. It doesn't work out.
Like a Star Wars character, you know, but other than that.
I think he's making fun of the culture. I think he's really like, I think he just sits back and laughs at people because he's making his clothes that, dude, I seen people that are less fortunate that dress better than that, you know? And I just think that he's like laughing at kids like, you're actually wearing that. Do you realize how dumb you look? Like, I feel like that's how like his mindset works.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm tripping or not, but I feel
could be, yeah.
I really feel like he's making like he's laughing like all the way to the bank,
especially and, with his you know, vote for Kanye in 2020 comment or whatever. You know, he was supposed to be running for president or something.
Yeah, I like Kanye. So, but there's tons of artists, but I don't know something about Kanye, man. I like the way he functions.
Yeah, well, you know, what advice would you give right now? For someone who wants to get into the industry.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Keep working. And no matter what people say, no matter if you got no money, no matter nothing, dude, just follow, keep you on your path and keep hustling. And that's it, man. Like, keep working. And on the key element is to work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
So just keep hustling and work harder. Work smarter and not harder. So
do you happen to have any, crazy stories, anything crazy happened to you either at one of the stations that you've been at?
Hell yeah, I got shot at, dude, on New Year's Eve a couple years back, like 2004.
I mean, did they know it was you?
Nah, I never knew what was going on. So we were in National City and we were in the hood, dude, like right where the In-N-Out is at. If you know, nobody knows where that's at, man. It's like, it's kind of like, it's a big city, and it's just, you know, when people were getting chased out of downtown to build Petco Park, all the homeless and all, you know, all the crazies, all the druggies were coming to National City because that was the closest place, you know, to downtown where it was just like open, you know. And that was one scenario. Another scenario is like, dude, for a whole month, I had this dude that would just come and knock on the window, dude, and floss his gun. At random times, dude.
Wow.
At random times. And it was crazy.
Dude. And so you survived a you know, the hood because you came from San Isidro, which is the hood. And you're working over in National City, the hood.
But, yeah. Well, but see, I've been cool with it. Like an average dude that's not from a hood wouldn't have been able to like function after that. They would have been traumatized and never gone back, man. But there's a lot of horror stories where DJs get, you know, stabbed. Like there was one of the dudes that was working there, like, I don't know, a few years before me. I don't remember his name, but dude got stabbed as soon as he walked outside. And I heard it was like over like a request.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I mean, dude, this crazy stories. We got stalkers everywhere all the time. Dudes, girlfriends getting mad because, you know, oh dude, I had a crazy story about dudes. Oh wow, okay. So oh man, I went to a restaurant one time and I sat down and then I went to the bathroom, dude, and some dudes pulled out a gun on me.
Yeah, dude,
out of all places. And they were like, yo, you gotta leave, there's somebody in this restaurant that doesn't like you. And I was like, what the hell? So then I was like, okay, cool. But I stayed about the 10 minutes and it was weird because he was paying the tab.
Wow,
it was weird. He's paying the tab. So, anyways, I'm like, I try to secretly leave, and I'm like, all right. So, I was freaking out. I'm like, all right. I was like, dude, like 21 years old, and so I leave, and the dude comes out yelling and gets all crazy, dude. And then nothing happened. Like that's all it was. But thankfully, that's all it was. So, I don't know. A few days later, I come to find out that the dude's wife won tickets from me. So he thought I had something going on with the wife, dude. Nothing, even met the wife. I didn't even know who the hell, like nothing to do with anything, dude. That's felt that I hooked her up because I had something going on with her. I'm like, dude, she was caller number 9.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, I almost got killed over that.
That's nuts, man. And you would think by now, like, everybody kind of knows who you are.
Well, this was 21 years ago. This was 10 years ago, exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, dude, so there's been some scary situations.
And now everybody kind of, you know, they you know, you're a staple in the radio business here in San Diego, and everybody does know, you know, who you are, but
feel like they don't.
No, man, come on, dude, you're a celebrity here, bro.
Not even.
But how do you go about marketing yourself?
Again, going back to being in people's faces, dude, being in the community and, you know, supporting the community and being and helping out and doing what you can whenever people reach out to you.
Yeah.
I don't have a budget behind me. I don't have anybody that runs any of my social medias, because now they got DJs that do all that for, like, there's people that you pay services and they run everything for you and they market for you. They marketing monsters.
Yeah. And you don't do any of that.
I don't do any of that. Everything's grassroots, and that's just what it is, you know?
And I know you got something on the website where you have, like, kind of your own blogs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's my own blogs, dude. But that's always hard to keep up with, man. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. And you know what's funny, too, is I find kind of funny, too. But every time, you know, in radio or in some of the stations that you've been at, it's always funny how it always comes to looking out for you whenever, like, hey, what's the best burrito in town? I don't know. Let's ask Beto. That always kind of comes to you, and you kind of run that contest or whatever it may be, right?
Yeah.
How does that work out?
I got Shelly Wade. She's one of our DJs. She comes from New York, number one market. She did nights for like 10, 15 years, and she come to San Diego, and she was like, hey, I don't know anything over here. So we did a couple of videos of me showing her around, and I took her from Black's Beach, which is a nude beach, Black's Beach to Drum Circle, which gets crazy. I took her from there to the Lucha Libre Taco Shop. I took a suspension bridge. So I take her around town, and that was fun. You know, people were about it, man, but I kind of slipped. I haven't kept up with it, man.
And you have a pretty tight-knit relationship with the guys who are at Lucha Libre.
Yeah. Well, we both do. Right? We eat there a lot.
I know, man. Look at me. But, dude, can you tell me a bit about, Pito?
Oh, Pito Perez, my brother, dude. Yeah, dude, he's the original Mass DJ. He's, you know, I don't know how long he's been doing it for, but he's been doing it for some time, and he's a fun dude to go and check out. He's kind of learned some of the stuff from me, and he picked it up, and, you know, he went from being a pollero to being a DJ.
The original Mass DJ.
Yeah.
And Pito's all over the place. Actually, I was at Lucha Libre not too long ago and seen them. There's a picture of him up there.
Yeah, dude, they got a picture of him up there. And, I mean, you definitely helped him do some stuff. And, you know, Heart of Lucha was one of the events that he I think it was Love Thy Neighbor where he was first DJed at.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was Love Thy Neighbor. And then he did both the Heart of Luchas and still staying active.
Yeah, he does.
So and tell me real quick. I know you're pretty heavy on your social media, and you always got me laughing, dude, on all your quotes and all the stuff you got going on. How important is it to network, not just on social media, but outside of that?
All right. Well, all my networking is outside of social media. I actually use social media just as a way for me to, like, kind of promote what I got going on. But I don't think it's that effective. I know somebody's going like, you're crazy right now, but there's nothing like being in somebody's face, dude, and like letting them know that's you and showing skin and touching hands. And, you know, that's how I remember people.
When
you
shaking hands and kissing babies.
Yeah, you could sit there and tell me, hey, I'm Esther Rodriguez from your Facebook. And I'm like, who? You know? Yeah. But if you tell me I'm Esther Rodriguez and I met you at, you know, the carnival, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know?
Yeah. Like, I met you at Lucha Libre Taco Shop.
Yeah, that's how it works.
And so what advice, I mean, say like someone like me, I'm just launching this podcast and trying to get in on doing the broadcast thing. Is there something you suggest? Cause I know, in talking to some other DJs, some people were like real hyped on the radio, and then some people were just kind of, you know, is there like a voice thing that people do that you suggest?
The one thing that I learned from X-Man, man, and this has been very effective for me, and that's all I do. I don't really switch my voice. I don't do anything. I'm just loud as is, but I smile. And smiling projects. Like right now, I could be like, hey, Ruben, what's up? Hey, Ruben, what's up? Like it changed. Like same voice, same thing, just smiling changes everything up.
Yeah, yeah.
So smiling, it just, There's something, I don't remember, I think it must have been X-Men for sure, but we had a conversation and, you know, he was telling me how your ears can detect smiles. So it just kind of, I don't know, that's just been my, I give out the secret ingredient, dude.
That is awesome. I will take that advice. I'm smiling right now as it is.
Smiling, that's it makes a huge difference, dude. And then you can hear it, you know, like yeah, it's yeah. genuine and you can hear it.
So I know you got a lot of stuff going on. I don't want to take too much of your time, but what are you most excited about right now?
Really just being on the road with Frankie, dude. I've been able to experience a lot of different scenarios. I've been, you know, from big arenas, dude. We were like in Vegas, bro. It was sold out. It was like 14,000 people to just being able to travel to Houston that I'd never been to. And, you know, being able to see other cultures, other taste other foods. And, you know, that's to me, that's something that's for me exciting right now.
Yeah. Yeah, Frankie J is awesome too.
Yeah, and he's really cool, dude. He's like one of the coolest artists that I've ever met, ever worked with. And that dude, literally every time I call him, which is probably every other day, or you know, he's got a new song. He's showing me like new song, dude. Like every time I talk to him, he's got a new song. I'm not joking.
And that dude's voice is incredible, man. Like he's
it's crazy.
Yeah, he's definitely talented, man. Is he from here in San Diego?
Yeah, he's from San Diego, dude. He's from San Isidro. He grew up in the Coronado Terrace.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome, man. I got to link up with him, dude. I've only met him once or twice. And
Coronado Terrace, dude. And I grew up in the Vista Terrace, so.
Yeah, man. Right across from the Legion of Doom, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're a baby back then, but Legion of Doom was a big deal here in San Diego, and I know you always give props to the hometown heroes too, man. So
my sister lives in the apartment where what's his name grew up in Maisky.
Maisky, yeah.
Yep, my sister lives in that apartment now.
Nice. A lot of good times in those apartments, dude. Some stuff.
No,
I can't
but people
talk
don't
about.
Even people don't even know like how hood it was, dude. Like, if you survived in my apartments, dude, in the 80s and 90s, like, dude, you literally had brothers, like blood brothers, like slept next door to each other, yeah. shooting at each other over a dime. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I know.
Like, and I seen it as a kid.
Yeah, back in those times, man, that the Villanueva and all that stuff, it was like murder capital out there, dude. There's people just. Blasting each other.
Brothers, dude, for nothing. For like 10 bucks, for 5 bucks.
Yeah, that's the hood.
So.
But yeah, man, I don't want to take too much of your time, man.
We're chilling. If you want to talk about anything,
I appreciate, appreciate you. And is there anything else you want to plug or anything?
Nah, man, I'm just excited to be a part of this podcast. I know you've been doing this for a long time and trying to put it together. And it's been a journey, man. But we're here and I'm glad it's gotten off. And. You know, you also inspire me, and I'm just it's all good, man. You know.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing a lot of research. You know, it's been months that I've been doing research because I didn't want to come out and just do it and launch it. I wanted to come out and kind of have the right questions, and I want to like have people actually learn something. So I want to, you know, I want to connect with people that have stuff to teach. You know, and I think. Anybody that wants to get involved in radio, if they listen to this interview, I know it's going to be like a value bomb for them. They're going to be like, dude, you know, now I want to get in radio because of everything Bethel just said, you know. But
well, do it because you love it. Don't like, dude, there's definitely for your first rodeo, there's no money in it. So yeah. Don't expect to be, you know, dude, I
But, you know, it's inspiring to hear your story, especially, you know, not going to school and not doing, you know, the average way that somebody would think they get into a certain industry. And, you know, that's inspiring and motivating to hear that, man. So, you know, maybe I can get in on the radio industry now too, with everything I just learned, but no, man, thank you for your time, brother. You know, I don't want to keep, you. I know we're over here and, you know, you've been a busy man.
Oh man, I'm pretending, dude. Not even.
So no, man, I appreciate you.
Thanks, bro.
How can people find you on social media?
My Instagram is Cali Burrito.
Why Cali Burrito? Why?
Why Cali Burrito? Because I live in California and burrito capital, dude, Cali Burrito. I love California burritos and I don't know. It's just something.
You're from San Diego and
people don't know how to pronounce my name, dude. Beto, B-E-T-O. People, it's really hard for people to pronounce it or write it or that Cali Burrito. Like, you can't mess that up.
And you know, Cali Burrito, if you know anything about the California burrito, you can't get it everywhere. It's one of those things, like it's a Southern California, San Diego thing. San Diego is the home of the Cali burrito. Am I right?
South San Diego is right? The home of the Cali burrito.
Right? Yep. I'm telling you. South SD. Oh, you know, before we bounce, both of us being from South SD, I've always said that South San Diego has been like a like a breeding ground for hustlers.
South San Diego has been influential for probably 80% of the music you hear on the radio, dude.
Right. tell me about that, man, because I know that you're a big supporter of that.
Well, we got reggae bands like Organics, Bedrins, and then we got Tribal Seeds. We got Slightly Stupid. But before all that, even POD, you know what I mean? Before, like, dude, POD inspired a lot of bands that, you know, had that sound. Like, what was it, like 311? Like, I don't know if Korn was prior to that or not, but they were definitely in the same era. Like, they, you know, inspired each other. And I also heard, I don't know how true this is, dude, but Gangsta Earn, Green Eyes, were real close, somehow one way or another way connected to Eazy-E. And I heard Eazy-E got his, street... what do you say? Like the way he dressed, like his street knowledge. I don't want to say street knowledge, like his street style from them, dude. I don't know how true that is, but if that's true, they're the pioneers of the whole NWA movement. And that was like before NWA, before, what was it, dude? Like when Time Mix Social Club was like, you know, kind of like, like happening. That's when Gangsta Earn and all that was going on, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, and that dude was like that's real gangster rap right there, like, to the extreme.
And a lot of people don't know, man, but even Eazy-E, like, was reaching out to the Chicano rap industry.
The Night Owls, Little One, yeah, right? Little One. What was it? Without a Warning, right?
Yeah, like, Legion of Doom, too. Like, Mike Ski and them were you know, in talks with doing some stuff with them. And you know, Mike Ski and the Legion of Doom, like, even they were coming out at the same time as Cypress Hill, man, and they were like way ahead of their time, bro. Like way ahead of their time. And so, you know, I think my inspiration to get involved, my motivation to get involved in the entertainment industry was seeing the Legion of Doom. And I seen them as before they were the Legion of Doom, they were brothers and cousins. And they were just doing like DJing at different clubs, or not clubs, but different schools and parties and all that stuff. And they came to Montgomery Junior High. And that's where I first seen them. And I was like, brothers and cousins, what is this? And they came out rapping, dude. And they sounded like Run DMC, LL Cool J.
And that was the name of the group, Brothers and Cousins?
They were called Brothers and Cousins, man. And Mike Ski was beatboxing and stuff back then. He wasn't even like part of the, he was just coming out to beatbox. And then, and they came together and they became Legion of Doom. And dude, I was just, you know, we're all part of the 151 Posse back in the day. And we're just handing out flyers and putting up posters and picking up, you know, tapes over at Wingspan and bringing them over to
Wingspan, where they
make cassettes, dude. Oh, over wow. In National City. And then we would go and deliver them over to the warehouse. And dude, I mean, you know, we're just all the foot soldiers, man, doing all the stuff for them, dude. But that was like my first like peek into what I thought was the music industry, man. And they were the first like group here in San Diego to get like radio play. 92.5 Magic Man used to play him, dude. Del Sullivan, dude, he was very instrumental in that. And so you know, and I always see you like giving props to the Legion of Doom, man. And I'm like, dude, like he knows what's up.
Yeah, Legion of Doom, dude. That's like, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, man. So, and then you know, you got of course B-Side and Mitchie, and you got, you know,
Mitchie's like on a worldwide level. And then yeah, you know, there's tons of talent out here.
Yeah, yeah. And then Carlos Baez, he's got some other influences outside of you know the reggae style stuff that he does too, because his dad is Banda Limon, right?
No, Banda Recodo. He's the guy. Recodo, dude, he wrote all the hits. He was the guy that was in charge of doing the horn section. And when Cruz Lizarraga died, he left Carlos's dad in charge. Yeah. I don't know his name. I don't know Carlos's dad's name, but he also did Moonlights too.
Wow.
Which is, you know, classic joints like Rosa Maria and, you know, Leticia Maria or whatever the song's called. But Rosa Maria is that's a classic joint, man.
And what's your take on the San Diego Music Awards?
I don't know. I've never participated. I don't know much about it, dude. I really don't care much about it because I don't know, dude. It's just I can't knock it. I can't say I don't care much about it, but I've never heard anything positive out of that, you know. Yeah. Even from people that win it, like there's people that don't even show up. But I mean, it's cool. I mean, you know, it's been around for 25 years, and obviously they're doing something right, but. Sometimes the nominations on there, I'm like, what? Or like sometimes, you know, the people that win, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
They were talking about, like this year, they won, DJ Claire was one of the, what was the DJ of the, you know, best club DJ. And like, Honestly, I've never heard of DJ Clair, and there were some people on there like Artistic, you know, I've known for a long time, and that guy puts dope. In work. You got Mike Check, like who, like Mike Check is one of the sickest DJs, like ever, dude. Like it, like that I ever heard. You know what I mean? That dude's like on Mixmaster Mike status. You know, like how do you go heads up against somebody like that and not win?
Man, yeah, I think there's you know some politics involved in some stuff, but
yeah, I heard you got to buy advertisement too. Like if they win, like you got to buy advertisement from a magazine. But I don't know, dude. Those are all just rumors. I mean, it's all good. If they call me to go do something, I'm sure I'd go.
What advice would you give any upcoming band?
Definitely spend if you got a budget, which you should have, is spend that budget wisely. Yeah.
Yeah, there you have it. Well, man, appreciate your time, brother. Cali Burrito, that's how we find you.
Yeah, on Instagram, on Facebook, Beto Perez, B-E-T-O, Perez, P-E-R-E-Z. I got Twitter and all that, dude, but I don't even know the name, so I don't even check it.
Cali Burrito on Instagram. Yep. That's how you can find him. Well, there you go, man. Appreciate your time, brother. I know we're going extra long here, man, but good looking out with all the info. Hopefully we can come back and catch up after you do the tours and all that stuff. I know, you know, you're going to be staying busy, so, you know, save me a little slot and come in and catch up with your brother. But thanks for your time, man. Anything else you want to plug real quick?
I just want to say hi to my mom, dude. Shit.
There you go, man. How's she doing these days?
She's doing better, dude. I'm just trying to get her to stay off pills, man, because every time we go to the doctors, it's like all they want to prescribe elderly folks is just pills. Like, oh, you know, like whatever, this hurts, or, you know, my mom's got 3 broken vertebrae, and it's like all they want to give her is just like drugs. Then I'm like, why? Like, you know, why can't you like operate or send her to a therapist? It's like, nah, it's like, here's some Advil, go home, or here's like Norco or whatever those, you know, heavy drugs are. And like, so
stuff that ain't helping.
Yep.
Well, man, hopefully, you know, your mom heals up soon. I know, you know, she's been in and out of the hospital, man, so we'll send her some prayers, brother. And man, thank you for everything you've always done for me over the years, man. Appreciate it.
Likewise.
Thank you for coming on this podcast and teaching people a thing or two about the radio biz. Hopefully we can catch up and learn some more in a few more episodes and whatnot. But thank you, man. We are out of here. Another episode of the Connect the Show in the books. Thank you, guys. God bless. Connect with Ruben Torres all up in your ear hole. We are out of here.
Yeah.
Boom.
Don't be a hater.
Don't hate.